Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Dev Radio. My guest today is Haim Senior. Haim, how are you?
I'm good and great. And you?
I'm excellent here in rainy Chicago, Illinois. Where are you right now?
So I'm currently in Israel. I live in Boston, but I came for a visit to visit my team here, the R&D. It's been great. Great weather.
And you're the CEO of a startup, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Nomail.
What does Nomail do?
So in short, what we try to do is we try to help individuals inside corporations to better managing their email and messaging correspondings. We try to kind of give back their time instead of spending too much hours on writing and reading emails. We basically help them to spend less time on that while they can still be in control of things that are happening around them and make them more successful in what they do.
Interesting. I like the goal. How do you accomplish it?
So basically what we've developed and what we have kind of a big claim, we developed an artificial intelligence that basically learns individuals' habits, objectives, and goals. And we utilize that engine to help individuals being in focus on things that matter most, whether it's a specific conversations they're working on or it's a specific content within a conversations to work on, instead of them doing all the manual work of sorting, filtering, regardless of how much time they have throughout the day. So we try to align between the amount of time they have to spend on communication and the relevance of the information they have, so it will be kind of a full match.
Interesting. I see you're actually reading people's emails. I have to ask you about privacy there. How does that work?
Yeah, so obviously privacy and also trust are kind of our main objectives. And objections within users. So the things we've done is we've been able to develop a very secured and private environment, such as everything that we need from a privacy perspective is being done on the device itself. So we're not extracting any private information outside. And all the heavy lifting of the mathematical equations and building the formulas behind the artificial intelligence is being done on an anonymized and statistical information on the cloud. So basically, none of the private information goes outside of the device, but it still brings a lot of information to our cloud to do this kind of crunching and heavy lifting, not to obviously impact performance of the device itself.
Tell me a little more about what's happening in the cloud.
So the things we do is we basically extracting, whether it's a metadata or a textual information, we're extracting it in an anonymized manner. And then that kind of information being sent to the cloud from each individual who use the system. And then on the cloud itself, what we do is we basically crunch the information to build the persona or the personalized engine or the personalized formula, and basically do the crowd analytics between the personalities or between the different personalities in order to enhance the model itself to be very accurate, so people will not miss anything important to them.
Which cloud are you using? Which cloud platform?
So we're currently using Azure as our main platform for our entire processes. It composes both infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, model creation, queue management. We use a lot of the features or a lot of the components that Azure provide us. And we correlate that with a web service. So it's basically everything is being secured, as I said, and being isolated. So we also use the security features within the Azure to allow segregations between different companies and different users. We use the client server kind of integration in a way that it's all being encrypted and it's all being, all runs under a very high security level, to make sure that none of the information is being breached. And as I said, we guarantee segregations in the cloud itself as well.
Interesting. I'm particularly curious about how you're implementing artificial intelligence. Is this just a bunch of code that you're writing, or are you using any tools to make that easier?
So because the algorithm is quite sophisticated, I mean, the claim we are trying to do here, or the things we're trying to achieve, is basically to mimic the way you do your work manually, but by a machine. So the things we do is basically we correlate all kind of parameters that are not necessarily within the things that you do. So for example, we try to recognize what are the importance level within that specific message as opposed to your colleagues or peers within the organization itself. Whether there are any kind of variants that are not necessarily within your cognitive analysis to represent an importance of a content or specific content. Whether there is things which are being recognized as not relevant for others that can serve as a non-relevant for you. So we're not just analyzing the way you work, but we also analyze the way other works, and we combine that to kind of fit the persona that is going to use better for you as an individual inside the corporate. And most of the coding, and that's patent pending coding, most of the coding we did is proprietary, and it's quite a complex one because we don't, as I said, we're not just kind of try to see what kind of the things you do, but we also try to learn from other things that are happening around you to contribute to the mathematical model as well.
How's it going? Are you in business? Do you have customers? What stage of your business are you at right now?
Yeah, so currently the Nomal is being fully production on more than 30 global companies. Actually, Microsoft is using part of our product as well in various divisions. One of the things we did, and that was part of our go-to-market, is to make sure that it will be suitable for companies and not just as a consumer solution. It is very important for us that, again, we will maintain privacy and we'll be an enterprise-class solution, so it can be implemented in large-scale inside corporations. As I said, we're already in the market. We recently launched 4 months ago, and we're already in 30 global companies. We have paying customers that are already using our product in large scales. And from an interoperability point of view, we're currently supporting the major platform, which is currently being used inside corporations. It's Microsoft Outlook. And we kind of integrate ourselves into Outlook not to change the way people actually do things, but to amplify the way they do it. So it doesn't, obviously it's not intimidating of learning a new platform or kind of discovering or investing more time in kind of do things differently.
30 companies in 4 months is pretty impressive. Are you, I imagine Azure helps you with some of the large scale applications.
Absolutely. One of the things which enabled us to kind of grow so rapidly is the fact that there's a lot of automations within the Azure cloud. So, and it obviously allowed us to kind of use those automations in order to either build or destroy part of the cloud's components to serve the purpose in a specific point in time. So for example, if we are onboarding thousands of users within inside the corporation, that's obviously create a lot of load within the cloud because they need to do a lot of crunching. But after the onboarding process happened, we basically can destroy that kind of components and go back into a normal usage. So that kind of elements allowed us to do it in a very rapid scale and obviously allowed us to do it without any kind of management, which for us as a startup company, it's very, very difficult to invest time in IT infrastructure management.
Absolutely. One of the challenges of startups is getting funding. How did you guys go about finding funding for your startup?
So obviously the collaboration and messaging space is a little bit crowded. So for us, the initial funding was a challenge. And we did find micro VCs, which are currently backing us with funding to support our cause. And as you may already understood, we gain traction in a way that it's built the confidence that we are on the right direction. We currently are raising another capital, which part of it is already secured. And main reason for that is to capitalize the huge opportunity we have in the market to kind of disrupt the way people are currently spending their time on, with all the manual work, etc., and actually advance corporations into bringing more focus on things that matter and not just, you know, working on emails, which this is obviously not a purpose of a company.
Tell me a little bit about the process of finding venture capital. How was that?
So coming within the, as I said earlier, the market we are operating in is a little bit crowded, and there's a lot of solutions. And, you know, my advice to someone who is operating within a crowded area is to really find the differentiation within your product and the kind of your approach or your unique approach. And for us, finding funding at the beginning was to really talk about what is we are trying to achieve. And it's not about our product is doing this and that. Because I think, again, operating within a crowded market is that it's really not about the feature. It's about what is your end game. And, you know, if you think about it at the beginning, and if you force yourself to think about it when presenting to a VC, it kind of gives you the sense of what you're actually aiming on doing, and not just, you know, what kind of features will give you the initial traction within the market. And one of the other things which was quite a surprising for me, but when you come to a VC and you kind of show the KPI that the VC expects to see, so he or she expect to kind of, if you're a SaaS company, he expects to see this kind of matrix. And if you are an enterprise software, it's expected to see this kind of of matrices. Eventually, it's your matrices that makes the difference. So if you truly believe that there are ways to measure your success of the company, the success of the company, stick with your matrices and convince that those are the matrices that do that serves you well, and not kind of say the things that are that people are willing to hear, but not necessarily stands as your own opinion. So in short, be yourself.
Did you work with BizSpark at all?
Yes, we used BizSpark at the beginning, and then we moved into BizSpark Plus because we had a demand for a larger scale. We're currently using a lot of the facilities within the Azure itself, and obviously Plus BizSpark Plus is one of them.
How did Microsoft help you with this project at all?
Yes, so at the beginning, in order to kind of build the enterprise class solution, we wanted someone to guide us in how to do it. We have a very high skilled CTO who has kind of an understanding about how he wants to build it. But again, it's the alignment to the infrastructure that was required at the time. And part of the fact we were in Microsoft Acceleration Program, we had the access to work with engineers within Microsoft to help us build it in a way that it will last for long. So one of the good things that we've been able to do is not to kind of reinvent the platform as we move forward, kind of not to change dramatically the infrastructure as we move forward and scale.
Interesting. Sounds like they were helping you with the architecture, the application architecture.
Absolutely.
What are the next changes for your product? Now you've got 4 months of customer feedback. Are you planning new features, or what's next for Nomail?
Absolutely. So one of the things we're currently investing in is really to understand the usage of our system and the patterns of usage. We're really into understanding what will help us to move between the early adopter group with inside corporations to an early majority. Most of the corporate employees, they're not necessarily interested in the innovation per se. They are more interested in investing less time in doing their work and kind of be more successful. So in order to support that, we need to kind of bring more features that will help them gain more control within the application. One of the drawbacks we have today is the fact that because of us filtering information outside of the inbox, it created a trust issue, and we want to make sure that people will trust the system and they will be able to use it on a daily basis. And therefore, we're inventing features that will regain the control on the machine, so they will have the ability to make an impact on the machine, on the decision making of the machine, etc. So that's the kind of phase that we are currently in. And we're planning to finish that phase within a few months from now. We currently have sufficient enough of users to get feedback from, and we move on to kind of fix that problem.
Interesting. Does your product only work with Outlook, or does it work with other email clients as well?
So we work in a way that we interoperate with any communication platform. So it can basically be email, or it can be instant messaging, or it can be a social network within a company from a protocol perspective. And on the front end side, because we don't want people to jump between email client into a web portal for social network and then move to another application to consume instant messaging, we kind of allow everything through Outlook as their main dashboard for messaging communication, written communication. We have future plans to support Gmail as well, and we have future plans to support other email clients, which are going to be the majority. And again, we work according to demands. Our user demand and company demands we work with today, 75% of the companies we work with are using Outlook. So we support Outlook, we support mobile devices as a complementary solution. And other than that, we have, as I said, future plans for Gmail and Mac.
How do people find out about your company?
So we currently, because we were not sure about how much our product is going to be sufficient, therefore we didn't, we're not very active on the marketing side. So the way people are currently contacting our or downloading our application is through our website. It was very important for us to be a thought leader, to be considered as a thought leader within that space, and to consider as a subject matter expert. And therefore, we are collaborating with all kind of academia research centers, such as MIT, and here in Israel, the Technion and high-scale academia around that manner. So people can find us in all kind of articles within, or byline articles within the academia and the CIO kind of magazines. And they can obviously go into our website and request for download and to have kind of a personal experience within the product.
Sure. What's the URL of your website?
So our URL is nomail.me, which is nomail is with a K. It's actually to nomail. .me, and this is how you can get in and you can download the application, get the feeling about whether it's working for you or not, and if it does, we will help. We'll appreciate the spreading of the words that that's something that can actually improve employee experience.
Excellent. I'm actually on that site right now looking at it. It's pretty good.
Thank you.
Haim, is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to talk about?
So there's one thing which I think it's kind of helped me in this journey of, you know, starting and building a product from scratch. So one of the key elements which I would like to share about, it's in regard to Microsoft. So, you know, when I addressed Microsoft for help, inside my community, it was, you know, the sense of why do you do that? I mean, is Microsoft innovative enough to help you throughout your entire journey? And I think one of the good things about Microsoft, which are not expressed, as far as I know, are not expressed so much on the public, is the fact that you do have the talents, you do have the tools to build an end-to-end solution, whether it's for consumer or for companies, and you do have the market, which is very helpful for startup companies such as myself. I mean, the access to the market is quite difficult, specifically from companies that are not coming from the US. And I think it's a key value to kind of appreciate. And when you go in that route, you're not necessarily bound yourself to use Microsoft as your kind of a core core software, but it still gives you the kind of the access you need and the talents you want to have, and obviously the tools you want to develop on. So that's kind of the things which I think you should more emphasize going outside and talking with entrepreneurs such as myself. And the other things which I want to kind of address my users and companies, my fellow employees, And that's something which is, you know, there's always a talk about balancing between work and life. And I think work and life are complementary, which means that if you have a good life, you're probably going to be successful at work. And if you have a good work and you are being successful, you're probably going to have a better life. And therefore, I think that combining a tool which does not do best just on one angle, but actually make you as a whole, I think that can really, really contribute to your overall experience and not just, you know, a better work or a better life. So that's my kind of a two cents.
That's very well said. Chaim, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much as well for the opportunity.
And thank you for watching Dev Radio.